But it also helps us to know this because it affects how we live our lives and how we interact with other people. And that gets to the second question. How does the way I view God impact the way I live my life and interact with other people? Because if I'm a person who keeps falling back into God's waiting around the corner to zap me for my sins and for everything that I do wrong, guess how I end up interacting with other people? I know your sins. You should get better. You should work hard on that. And we're always just looking for other people and what they do wrong. And we think it's our spiritual gift to point out all of their problems. Parents oftentimes can really struggle with this. I know that as a parent of four, because sometimes I really get in this rut of thinking, if I just tell my kids all the stuff they're doing wrong, then they'll stop doing it and they'll get better. When I interact with God in this way, oftentimes I end up interacting with others in this way. And you know what? It's not the way that God has created and redeemed us to be. God wants us to be lights that invite others, but don't zap them when they get near. If you interact with God as an unplugged light, it also affects how you interact with others. If you don't believe that God is really involved in the day-to-day workings of your life, that he's leading you, as the psalmist would say in 119, that his word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, if you struggle really seeing God at work in bread and wine, in the body of believers, in his word as you read it and as you meditate on it, you know what's going to happen? You're probably going to stop coming to that. After a while, you stop reading the word, and the next thing you know, you're unplugged. And if you're unplugged, you don't have anything to give to other people that the world doesn't already have to give. And so God invites you to meet him where he promises to be, to meet him in worship, to meet him in body and blood, bread and wine, to meet him in his word, to meet him in the fellowship of the believers. And in doing so, he invites you to be a warm fire on a cold, dark night and in a cold, dark world. God has created and redeemed you to be a light out there in the world, a light that draws people to you, not because of who you are, but because of what God has done in your life, so that you can share that with others. This is what Isaiah was talking about in our prophecy this morning. Listen to these words again. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And this is the promise that, and the you in this is Israel. And it's the promise that God made to Abraham when he called him. When he called Abram, he said, I'm going to bless you. And he didn't stop there. He said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to all the nations. And so here we see that promise starting to come true. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. But then Isaiah goes on to say, so nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You know, there's a lot of people in the church. We actually talked about this in the Bible class I was in this morning. A lot of people in the church who think, we've got pastors. We've got staff who, that's their job, for them to go and share the good news with people. But you want to know what most of our day looks like? Most of our day is spent here working around other people in the church, getting worship ready, getting Bible studies ready, and doing stuff like that, working on the website and all those kinds of things. You guys are actually out in the world probably more often than we are. It's every single one of us together, because of what God has done, how he has shined his light into our lives, we can reflect that light in the world. God has created and redeemed us to be a light in this world that draws people to a place of safety where they feel like it's okay to share their problems, to share their hang-ups, to share their sins, so that they know of the forgiveness of God, of the restoration of Jesus, and so that they can be invited into a relationship, a lifelong relationship with Jesus and his church. Over the next couple of months, this is where we want to live here at Peace. And we don't want it to just stop at the end of February. We want it to be a thing that propels us into the future here at Peace, so that the community around us starts to know Peace, not as that church up on the top of the hill, not as the church next to Northeast Mall, not the church that has that bright light that shines on the cross at night, But that's the church where my neighbor goes who helped me out during a tough time. That's the church where my coworker who sat down with me when I was going through a divorce and walked with me through it helped me know the love of Jesus. God is strengthening us to be that kind of church, to be light in the world. May you grow in God's mission these coming months, and may we be the people of God in this world, sharing the light and the love of Jesus with whomever we meet. In the name of Jesus, amen. May God guard your hearts and your minds and your lives in Christ Jesus, and then use your lives to shine the light of his love to others. Amen.